You remember the first time you rejected me?
Yes, and I remember the second and the third and the fourth time.
But I guess it's a quality, though. I'm pretty persistent, right?
You are.
But finally you gave in, and we're here today. Yeah, you married me, finally.
Yeah. You know, persistence, it pays off.
It did in this case. Hey, it's Corey Heppola.
And it's Camille Heppola.
So we met back in, in upstate New York. We met a long time ago, and we worked our way up together in the television industry. I saw you on TV and thought, I'd really like to get to know her. And that persistence paid off, and we finally were able to go on some dates, and we've been together ever since.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it all started in 2007 when I met you at a news conference.
I remember.
I used to call them press conferences back then. That's another story for another day.
Yeah, I remember throwing softballs at that press conference, you know, softball questions. And I remember you were the hard-hitting, like asking good questions. I'm like, who is this? Who is this Camille? New to the area. Love her. But we did, we also thought at that particular time, we thought, well, it would be so awesome to have our own show one day. But we didn't think, did you ever think it would be in our basement?
No.
No.
I mean, how life has played out, I never thought it would play out the way it did. Twins.
We'll get into, we'll get into all of it here. But the way we've moved up and climbed the ladder together, supporting each other, has been terrific. We ended up going to Care 11 and working together, and now we're on to a new venture. What are you doing, by the way?
So I'm working in a city in the metro in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it's for a great city, doing some communications work for them.
Yeah, and I'm at WCCO Radio, and I've got my own show, 9 to noon. Hey, it's Corey Heppola on WCCO Radio, and we have together, we are balancing work life, or at least we're trying. Like, that's the goal, right?
I mean, yeah, it's tough when you're outnumbered.
Yeah, outnumbered.
There's three of them.
Three kids, 4.5 and under. The oldest is Cormac. He's 4.5. And then, surprise, twins, Sinia and Sevi. So they just turned 3.
That really wasn't part of the plan. That when you talk about,
no,
did I ever think we'd, no, never,
no,
thought
you,
that would,
well,
happen.
Well,
I prayed for the first time.
Twins,
to have twins
the first time. And so the prayer was answered just on the second time, not on your timeline, but it happened.
Did happen.
And so our thought was, let's talk about all of it. You know, let's connect. Let's talk about what's working, what's not working, what we're doing right. Let's do it all. And that's what the show is all about.
That's right. And, you know, there'll be some tears. There'll be some heightened emotions. And I'm just kidding. I don't know. Yeah, hopefully there aren't.
Who knows? Who knows where it's going to go? But we're going to try to connect with celebrities and talk about their work-life balance and balancing kids, which is the most important job.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we came up with the great name because that's, everyone tells us, hey, they grow up so fast. That's the podcast. Hey, they grow up so fast.
Notice, but lately I've been driven.
August blooms and quiet.
Methodist queen works only occasionally.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
Welcome to Hey, They Grow Up So Fast with Corey and Camille Heppola.
I remember I'd be at the gym at noon, and I remember when you popped up, and I was thinking, I got to meet that person. I got to meet her. And so, because I had been there for a year before you.
Right.
Yeah. So I remember I needed to meet you. But nice thing was, it was a small market, so like you knew people at each station, and you were able to kind of like network.
Right.
At least for me.
Yeah.
It didn't work for me.
Because I think it was someone at your station who saw me at the grocery store who's like, hey, you know, you should try meeting this person, Corey Heppola, sometime. Can I give him your number? Do you want his number?
Somebody proactively did that?
It's a distant memory at this point, but I remember that's how this all started. Or maybe you sent me an email after that.
Yeah.
And then,
so is the Lord looking out for me? Saying, like, I know you've said no a couple times, but just
a few rejections.
Think about, yeah, well, my game was a little, you know, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
It just wasn't great.
But you were persistent.
That's what I've always been. I've always been persistent.
Yeah.
I've always been somebody that doesn't give up.
Yeah.
Even when the girl rejects
and you know,
me three times.
My story, I was just tired, right? So I just moved there and I was exhausted, just starting a new job. And I was just like, you know, yeah. I don't want to meet you when I'm tired, right? That's not my best foot forward. So I was actually just didn't want to waste your time. But clearly, I wouldn't have wasted your time.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked. It's funny when you think back to, and, you know, we did long distance for a year and a half when it was just Elmira to New York, to Rochester, New York. So that's like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So we did that for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And then you got the job in Austin. It's always interesting too, because I think, I remember you were interviewing in Portland, Maine. And in fact, we got a shot glass, I think, from Portland, Maine when you had toured there. It's like of a lighthouse. But I remember you were interviewing there and Austin at the same time, and we were still dating. And it's like, where should I go? Where should I go? Or should I stay in Elmira since we're close? And I do remember telling you that you got to go where you got to go. And if this works out, it'll just work out. We'll just know. But I mean, you weren't like that. You're like, if I'm moving, we're probably done.
Well, I thought either we stay together or... yeah, we're done. And you were like, oh, I don't know.
You're kind of more
like,
of a black and white person,
yeah,
and I have more gray,
yeah.
Where I'm like, well, we'll see. And you were like, no, if I move, it's over.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I make a decision, you're still thinking about whether or not you want to make that decision.
Yeah.
And I'm already, like, long gone.
Well, that's a big difference, I think, with us. And it goes even into today.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of the decisions that we talk about or make. But even back then, like, so you took the job in Austin, which I encouraged you and supported you. I was very excited for you. But I was also like, I mean, that was one of the harder times of my life, too,
yeah.
Because it was like, here you are leaving. I don't know what's going to happen. And we ended up doing that for a year and a half, too. Ended up getting back together after, 3 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 months mm-hmm. apart. It's 3 months we don't really talk about.
No,
a
we
whole
don't
lot.
Talk about it a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do during those 3 months?
Well, not a whole lot. I mean,
was that,
was young before
March
kids.
2010?
Yeah, March 2010.
April 2010.
Probably just worked a lot. I remember a lot of times just being home and watching like Desperate Housewives or something. Or maybe not Desperate Housewives. What is it?
Well, you wouldn't have had streaming at that point.
No, it was a reality show. Not Desperate Housewives. It was like Housewives of Atlanta or something.
Yeah.
I think it was the DC episode where she snuck in. Like the DC series where the woman snuck into Obama's address or his gala or something.
I mean, you can explain it. I'm not going to ever, I don't know. You can.
But I just remember it was that season that I remember watching a lot of the episodes. Because I never really watched that now. I have no time. But I had a lot of time back then.
That's another difference. So like your getaway is like that just, hey, easy, trashy TV where, you know, you'll just throw that on.
Yeah.
Where I like to throw on movies that I've seen 100 times.
Yeah. Well, like, the thing is, in some of the... Well, you like to have those movies on, like that are from the 90s, 80s even. But sometimes you like to watch movies that you really have to think. And then it makes you feel stuff.
Oh,
you don't want to.
Yeah. Like, I guess what I meant was like, when you have a half hour to, like, I just need to veg out and waste, you'll watch, like...
reality TV.
Yeah, just to be like, oh, I need mindless TV. Where
exactly.
I don't do that, but I'll do, like, a movie I've watched 100 times.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, I... whew, yeah, I'm into movies that'll challenge you or punch you in the gut.
Yeah.
So we were... but we got engaged during that time.
Yep.
So when we were doing that long distance, I'd basically fly once a month... but like it was honestly that it was like the hardest time.
Yeah.
Hardest time of our relationship, the hardest time of our lives together. But it's oddly like now when I think back, it's like we truly grew together during that time.
Yeah, no, we did. And what I think is funny is looking back at that time, it just seems like a really, really distant memory, but I remember going through it thinking, oh my gosh, like when is this going to end? You know? But yeah, it was really, of course it was really difficult,
mm-hmm.
you know? But then again, I think what trumps that are newborn twins.
Yeah, that's...
That kind of trumps that.
There's been, you know, and I think in life
infants.
Too, right? Like everybody's journey in life, I think when we were 20, we set out and we think, oh, it's going to be this journey and I'm going to be focused and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this by the time I'm 25 and by the time I'm 30 and we're going to do this. And as you go out there, you realize your road is like, well, it's windy and it's, it goes up and down and there's potholes and there's trees in the path and you've got to go around it. Like, and then too, you can look at people and think, man, they've just had it easy and look where they've gotten, but everyone has their story where it was difficult. And I know for us, that was certainly a time, but I was looking for a job for a year and a half and could not get one. And by this point, I was up at 350 some rejections from TV stations over the course of my career. And it was just like, I was 30, it was not picking up. We were engaged. And then I get the job in Austin and very thankful for that. Great people. And I moved down there right before our wedding. It's just like, unbelievable.
Yeah. And really a lot of networking on my part. Met a lot of friends at the other stations. And fortunately, I was kept talking to them about you and talking about how amazing you are and how good you are as an anchor reporter. And
you really sold me pretty hard.
I sold you. I mean, you did get a job pretty quickly.
Yeah. And it all worked out amazingly now that I got the job there at that particular time. And then, but that's, you know, that brings up another thing. Like, we've always been so supportive of each other. Yeah. Like, there's been times where you've sacrificed for me more than probably I have for you, but I have still, like, I've sacrificed for you too, because it was, we really climbed up the ladder together. And that's, I'm just, like, really proud of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's something we talked about kind of from the beginning, from when we met. I remember us talking about how cool it would be if we could climb the ladder together in this business, because it doesn't really happen. And I know that you were told that that's just not going to happen, you know, many years ago before you met me. So, yeah, I think it's been pretty amazing that we've been able to follow each other to big cities to get a job. Because it's not an easy business where that can happen.
Yeah.
You know,
I've always been somebody, and you too, we've always been people that are like pretty driven.
Yeah.
You know, and we are like, okay, you know, I have this on my heart and I want to do this. And I think, I know for me in my 20s, it was more selfish. It was more like, okay, I just, you know, this is, I'm so driven. I just want to go here and it's for me and it's, this is it. And I know a big move was once I got to Austin, and so I was there for 1 month, had just moved across the country to be there. And you said one thing that I'll never forget, but you said that you have more in your heart and that's okay. And I'm going to support you. You should start looking for a new job. Like right away. You read me. You knew that you're not going to be happy. Even though it was a great job and a great station, you were like, you're just not going to be happy because you're just that type of person.
Right.
And that was, I look back and I'm so thankful. I'm like, how did you even, like at that point, you just knew. And I started looking, and within a year, I got the job in Houston, which really changed things for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the job in Austin, we knew was a lateral move for you and rare, because no one ever really left Austin. I felt like getting a job.
It's heaven on earth.
It really is.
This is awesome.
I don't think people realize that, because I didn't before moving there. You know, I thought what probably everyone else thinks, but it's just amazing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a quick deal, because you had a bunch of rejections in a year and a half. But in the big scheme of things, for you to get a job in the same city, especially in Austin, I thought was pretty amazing, because I felt like no one was leaving. You know, it's just there's not a high turnover there. So we were really lucky. But I knew it was a lateral move for you, and that you were better than that position. And I hate to say that. Is that bad?
No, it's not bad. I mean, you're, you know, obviously we're each other's biggest fans. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's very nice.
Well, you said it right, that there was more for you.
Yeah, but you know, I think that's too, when you have that in your heart, you know, too, when you're like, okay, you know, we've both been the people that are like, we reflect on, you know, our work, and we're our harshest critics. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, what else can I do to be better? And I think as we've gone along too, you know, I look at like the next step, Houston.
Yep.
And then having our first child, it was, that's when life became, you know, more purpose driven. It's like, whoa. I know it's cliche to say, oh, you know, when you have a kid or life really changes. And I know everyone says that, but I think when you're not a parent, you just cannot understand how true that is.
Yeah. I mean, because everything literally changes. Like, you know, you and I are in our basement tonight because our kids are sleeping outside, upstairs. You know, we can't just leave right now, you know, leave the house without someone being here.
Yeah.
So we could do that if we didn't have the kids. So just life is really all about them and our schedules, everything. It's all about them. So, yeah, I mean, our life has just been really turned upside down.
How did you know that you were pregnant with Cormac? Because you knew, like,
you didn't even have
a pregnancy test. You just like called me one day. You're like, hey, I'm pregnant. I'm like, what? How'd you know?
Do you really want me to get into the details here about how I knew?
In tune with your body.
Well, there you go. We could leave it there. But, I mean, I'm pretty regular, so I kind of knew.
No, it was like, I thought you had like some feeling, like you just had like a...
Maybe that's what I...
Maybe you told me that.
Maybe I spared you the details.
Yeah, you just said, yeah, I heard. I'm pregnant.
I got the pregnant.
Yeah. But I do remember I was at work and you called me, and I remember like just being so in awe. But I mean, we knew we were trying, but it wasn't, yeah. I mean, we had been trying for like a couple months.
Right.
So yeah. It really wasn't that long.
Yeah.
And things just kind of changed. And then, you know, life got crazy because 3 weeks before Cormac was born, it was, I was laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of weird feelings there, too, because you have it's juxtaposed, right? So you've got the greatest thing that's going to happen to you, right? You're going to become a father. You're going to become a parent. But then the worst thing, you're laid off. Like, not only, I mean, I took pride in my job and in my career, and then it was like, it was just gone. Like, we had missed so many holidays. We had moved all across the country. We had picked up and moved. I'd been rejected by 350 stations. Like, this went on and on and on. Finally got to a job that we just really liked in a city we really liked.
Yep.
And it was like, nope, that's gone.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about this industry that's, I mean, I think that's one thing that's really opened my eyes to this industry. It's like a television, they don't care.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
No.
Because it's like...
It's a business.
It is. And if you have the greatest, greatest career, on the last day of your career, they'll throw you this big, huge, long 5-minute montage of your work and then say goodbye and everyone cries. And then it's like, up next.
Right.
And it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized like, that combined with the birth of our son and just how it was like, wow, priorities really shifted.
Yep, absolutely. And that's what matters. You know, the investment we put in the kids are what matters, because at the end of the day, they won't say, you know, sorry, laid off. You know,
yep.
I mean, I guess they could say that.
Yeah, they could.
They find out about the pictures on Facebook.
We're hoping. Yeah. I'm going to be in trouble for that.
Yeah.
I don't post a lot on there.
They'll be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What was happening back when I was a baby in 1, 2, 3?
So 5 months go by. I don't have a job.
Yep.
I'm at home. We're together trying to figure this thing out as first-time parents. That's tough.
Yeah, and really tough because it's almost like we were on an island. I mean, I had some family there, not real close. They're really busy because they had young children
as
well.
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't have my mom. She passed away at that point 2 years prior. And your family, they were up here. They would come and visit when they can and help. But when you don't have a lot of family nearby, I feel like it's even more difficult. But it was nice in the sense that we were going through it together.
Yeah,
I know.
I was home all the time.
You were
home. Yeah.
Really good. I mean, it was like there were pros and cons. I mean, the bad part was, yes, you didn't have a job and you were constantly looking for something and concerned, like, will I get something else?
Yeah.
You know, like that's always, an anxious time and stressful. But I loved having you home with Cormac. Like, I just knew everything was okay, even though I know you were probably panicking while I was at work, but I just, I loved having you home, even though I know you're like, this is crazy.
It was, extremely hard, and especially with the first one.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing. Like, you think you kind of know, you're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And we didn't, in terms of sleep, napping, food, activities, It was just like, I have no idea
what
I'm doing. And then also, trying to figure out, okay, am I going to stay in this career? Am I going to have another shot? Where are we going? Are we staying here? Are we moving? Like, it was just a lot of uncertainty. And then on top of it all, as parents, you yourself are sleep deprived.
Oh, so
and
tired.
You're so tired. You're so exhausted.
Yeah.
And it is a real thing.
And it is. And I just remember all of the nights, even more so than the twins. I feel like the twins got it quicker, maybe because they just had to figure it out because there's two of them and I can only take one at a time. But, you know, with Cormac, I just remember very long nights of you trying to figure out how is he going to go to sleep.
I don't even know.
His eyes were wide open every night.
I remember trying to rock him on one of those exercise balls.
Yeah.
You know, not rock him, but like bounce up and down on one of those like, what are they? The exercise ball.
Yep.
Yeah. And you just like rock up and down. And you're like, okay, what is what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I just remember there was one night where I stayed up all night with him and he literally just kept his eyes open. He didn't cry all night.
No, just
he just kept his eyes open, just staring at me the whole night. And I'm like, dude, just let it, just give in. Just let it go. And then we had like, it was just a one story house. And so we had the stroller, and I'd just walk him around in the stroller in the house, around and around, and do all laps trying to get him to sleep. I'd peek in; he's still awake.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just remember that one morning I woke up, and you guys were both like passed out in the office, and I'm like, "Oh, long night for them."
Yeah,
I slept good.
See ya.
I gotta go to work now. Okay, bye.
So, and then in life changing March 2015. Care 11 calls. And I had tried for, you know, four or five times for their morning anchor job. And I never heard back. And then finally, we were able to network. And I interviewed and I got the job and we were going home. And it's been an incredible ride. We've been home for 4 years now.
Wow.
And but you, awesome, sacrificed. You know, like you quit a great job in Houston. You had gotten out of TV. You were in PR with Harris County. And you quit your job to move here and come back home for me because you're from Canada, and but just the amazing selflessness. And then you had I was sitting here on top of the world, right? But then you had a hard time because you didn't have a job, and just like me, like you take great pride in what you do,
right? And so roles reversed in a sense that I was home for 6 months and tried interviewing for jobs, couldn't get anything. And I was a stay-at-home mom for 6 months. And it was very challenging. I think the hardest thing is I didn't have any friends nearby or family or really didn't know anybody in the neighborhood. So it's just me and this baby who doesn't talk to me, at least not in language I can understand. But, you know, and then you're gone most of the day or sleeping and so it was a very, very challenging
time. My schedule's so off, too, because I'm going to bed at, 8 o'clock at night, waking up at 1:45. And
right.
It's just...
It
was tough. It was tough. And it was hard to see you, too, because it's like, I know you just love what you do, and you were really networking and doing a great job, but just not the right thing was not becoming available.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But you kept being persistent.
Yep. A lot of networking in between naps or during naps.
Yeah.
You know, I would be on the computer and just trying to think creative.
Yeah.
You know, and if anything, it didn't land me because I was looking for a PR job since that's what I just left. And I didn't land a PR job, but I just landed some really great friends that I still have today, which is wonderful. And then I just couldn't believe that I got back into TV. You just never know where life takes you because that wasn't the plan.
It's just nuts. And all this is going on. So Care 11 has a weekend anchor job opening. You hadn't been in TV for 2 years.
No. So and, no way. It's not going to happen.
And you got the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out that we're pregnant.
With twins.
With twins. I remember that day. I was holding Cormac. He was 10 months old.
Yeah.
And holding him. And usually I feel like I prepare pretty well for things. And I feel like, we were just like, okay, we hope the baby's okay. We hope the baby's progressing. We knew we were pregnant. And then they did the ultrasound. And it's like, okay, there's a baby. Wow, really growing well. That's great. Oh, there's another one in there. And I just, I mean, first of all, I'll never forget your reaction.
What was my reaction?
Which was?
What was my reaction?
Which was, huh? Followed by lots of tears.
There's a lot of crying.
Oh my God, what are we going to do?
I know, because that was
college, diapers, school.
Oh, how are we going to do this? Yeah, that was, wow.
My soul left my body, and it went up into the corner of the room, and I could see the whole room. And I could see me holding Cormac. I could see you there. I could see the doctor, everything. It was like surreal.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, thing. And I was out.
Yeah. What's funny is that you think, at least at that time, it did seem really like twins were a rare thing. Like, they just didn't.
Nope.
No one really had twins.
But everyone then has now, them
now. Everyone has twins. And I'm like, what? When I was growing up, I don't remember.
No.
I think there was one set of twins in my school out of my whole 12, 13 years of school, but which that doesn't add up, but I'm talking about elementary school, middle school, and high school.
No.
Those, you know, no. Years. But now, I mean, everyone has twins, triplets, quadruplets. Like, those are just, it just happens, you know? No. So it's just interesting. So at that time, it was just very shocking. Well, I just didn't think.
It was all natural.
Exactly.
There was no fertility. Like, it was just all natural.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, you know, we ended up anchoring together at CARE, which really was a dream come true. And I'm really thankful for that. And I know you are too. And,
yeah.
But it's, you know, it's interesting too, because there's going to be questions, right? There's all these questions of, you know, we did that for 2 years, really enjoyed it, and wanted to be doing this too.
Yeah.
But everyone's, I get asked all the time, well, why'd you leave CARE? Mm. Why'd you leave CARE? So I'll ask you, why'd you leave CARE?
Left CARE because we wanted to be here for the kids. And to me, at the end of the day, I wanted to be here with them after school on the weekends. That, to me, was very important.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It got tough.
It did.
It's tough to be there on the weekends. It's tough to be there away from the kids together.
Yeah.
It's we had never had the same days off ever. In our entire lives, it was always, you know, me in the middle of the week or you, you know, this day. We just never had it. And it was like losing that family time was, I mean, that's tough. And yeah, I think that's a large part of it too. And I know we wanted to be, you know, the news industry is changing too. Let's be honest. Like, when we got in, it has changed. It's evolved, and it will continue to evolve. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, that's what, you know, we started off the show with this. Hey, would we ever thought we'd be doing this?
Right.
And this is going to be where? It's going to be here and here and here and all these other spaces where people are at. So,
yeah.
You know, the industry has really changed from when we started. So that's all a part of it too. But I also felt like, you know, we did it.
Yeah,
we you know? Did it. We did it.
We did exactly what we talked about
we
doing and dreamed
hard
of.
Yeah, and we're very thankful for it.
Yeah.
And it was just awesome. And it was like, we can look back fondly on that and be so thankful for the opportunity and so thankful to CARE. But it's like, yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm glad. But it was just, it was kind of time too. And I think we both wanted more of a life, but more of a voice too.
Right.
Like, it's just hard. Like, the, you know, the news industry, you're just doing stories, you know,
right.
You're doing the news. And like, I just felt like, with my personality and what I wanted to do, like,
yeah.
I wanted to do more of this. Like, I wanted to speak, and that's just that job in particular. That's just not the job.
Right.
And
yeah.
So that's all a part of it.
Yeah. But what I think is interesting is, yeah, like, here we are today doing this, and similar, but different. But like you said, the industry's evolving where this can be done in a more convenient way too, if that sounds
well. We can have a beer.
I know,
with it.
Right.
We can do that.
Exactly. So it's just, it is interesting. I mean, I never would have thought technology would be where it is today.
No,
you know,
no.
Back when I started my very first job in Panama City Beach, Florida, never would have envisioned technology being where it's at today.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So what we want to do on this show too is we want to do some table topics.
Ooh.
We want to do some table talks topics. So we'll have like categories each week. So let's start with this one. Hey, that was hard. And so this is like something that was hard with the kids this week.
Yep.
So, hey, that was hard.
Yeah, so I called you very early in the morning to let you know that there was a disaster in Sevi's room this morning, or that morning. I think it was Monday morning. And we are potty training. We have been potty training Sevi for a good month or so, and he was doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But then somehow there was poop on the carpet when I walked in his room, and I don't even know how it got there. I literally for a split second thought someone went in the room and pooped on the floor because
there's a his call 911. We got a burglar on the loose. He's just coming into kids' rooms and pooping on the floor.
I was so shocked because his hands weren't dirty or anything like that, but clearly he had an accident. So, but it was a full-on CSI scene because, I mean, I had to have the gloves on, threw stuff away. I mean,
CSI
is crazy. Talk about, you know, life has, you know, throws things at you. That was not part of the routine that
life
day.
Life comes at you fast.
And then you have two other kids.
So I currently leave at, you know, 5:50 or so to get in to do the show.
Right.
So the kids get up around 7, you know, a little bit before 7. So you're getting them up by yourself.
Yep, getting them up on my own before our nanny comes.
Yep.
And so I have to figure out how to keep Sevi away from his room and the other two. And Sevi doesn't understand what's happening. So I'm trying to keep them calm and like, it's no big deal. We're just going to have a quick shower, you know, but he's like, but that's not, no, I want to eat breakfast. And I'm like, no, let's just have a quick shower. And so he's fighting me. He's very strong-willed. So it was a very interesting morning.
Big guy too. Yeah, he's a strong, strong big guy. So you can imagine the poop that comes out of that kid
Oh my gosh.
The girth.
Oh, it was like nothing I've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, Cormac he had accidents, but not like that.
Not like this.
That was just.
It was like there's so much that it came out the diaper and the jammies.
Right.
It's crazy.
While he's in his crib.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand anyway.
So, hey, that was hard for me. Oh, speaking of Sevi, we were at a birthday party on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a good kid, but I think just out of his element, and he would not socialize with anybody. And so he just kind of went over at the very edge of the property and just sat in the rocks and just sat there. It's very strange. He doesn't usually do stuff like that. So, and we wanted him to be socializing and around us and around all the other kids and whatever. And it's like, hey, come on, let's, and he just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't move and he wasn't, but he wasn't crying or he wasn't like yelling or he wouldn't move.
Yeah.
And then it was time for lunch and he wouldn't move and he just sat there. So it just becomes quite frustrating. And you're like, okay, you know, and you're not, you know, as a parent, you're like, okay, how do I handle this? You know, obviously you want to be, we're not yellers or anything. So it's like, all right, how do we get him out of the rocks? Well, number one, we just kind of left him alone. Say, okay, you're just gonna hang there then take some deep breaths, get it, you know, whatever. Just, you can have your time. And so that was hard because it just didn't really know how that was going to end up.
Right.
All right. Next. Hey, what a win. So maybe a winning moment from the week. Hey, what a win for you.
For me, with the kids, it would be taking Cormac to swim lessons and him actually having a good time, because before we left the house for him to go to this new swimming school, new season, because he had taken swimming classes prior to and was excited about it usually, but in this case it's a different time. It was in the evening. He was going to be away from his brother and sister, away from the bedtime routine that they usually have, and I just tried to explain to him, like, you're still going to go to bed at the same time, you're just not going to be going through the whole bedtime routine with your brother and sister because of your swim class. So once he got there, happy, so excited, did really well. And to me, I felt like that was a win because I stuck with it. I could have easily been like, you know what? Forget it. We won't do it. But no, I stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That was a great night. Hey, what a win for me. Well, that birthday party. We did that. And then after Cormac and Sinia ate, he just was like, okay. And he was just ready. But it was like our patience paid off. You know, we didn't get angry. We didn't yell. We tried to reason with him, and then we left him alone. And then we went back to him, and he just was like, okay. And it was just like had to be on his time. He was out of his comfort zone, but it was like, okay. And I felt like we kind of also then empowered him a little bit to be like, okay, I just wasn't ready to eat. And so now I'm ready. And then he had a great time after that.
Yeah. Or it could have been that he wanted Sinia and Cormac to test out the food to make sure that they liked it before he went and tried the food, because like, it was food we don't usually eat.
They're still alive. All right. I'll try it. That worked. So that was
that
a great win.
Yeah.
Okay. So now this is for us too, because I just feel like, all right, the kids are all a part of our lives, but there's also us, right? There's our relationship as well. So these questions are for us. Hey, are you mad? Was there a moment that I made you angry or mad this week?
Yeah, I think you kind of know what the situation's about. We went to the splash pad over the weekend. Mm. And
I'd already forgot about it.
And you kept saying, hey, they have bathrooms over there for me to change the kids. And I...
This is a great topic for another day, by the way. Not the bath, but the germs part of it.
Okay,
that's a great topic
for
another day.
I'm a huge germaphobe. And so we went into the bathrooms. This is a public bathroom at a splash pad at a park.
That is pretty nice, actually.
It was so bad. I couldn't even... It was so bad, I couldn't even be in there. And I was angry the whole time. And we had to change the kids because they're wet and cold, so we had to put dry clothes on them. But I didn't know where to put any of our stuff because the floor was...
Don't you touch
disgusting.
That.
...disgusting. And then the kids are touching stuff, and I'm like, don't touch anything.
Don't take your shoes off.
Next time, I need to bring gloves and masks when we're with you going to the splash pad. I just thought it'd be easier. Let's just change them in the car. That's what I always do, you know, when I'm by myself.
Yeah.
And we do that anyway. If we're out somewhere and we have to change them, we'll do it in the car. And
but you never said anything.
No,
I didn't know.
So it's funny because I'm not from Minnesota, but this Minnesota passive aggressive thing, it's kind of rubbing
it's
off
really
on me.
Really passed down on you. You decided not to say anything.
In my indirect way of telling you, yeah. I'm upset.
For me, it was, hey, are you mad? It was it last week, I think? Maybe Thursday? Mm-hmm. And you came downstairs. Because our oldest son, part of his routine is that when we're both home, he prefers you to put him to sleep. And so you just, you know, you hang up there an extra 5 minutes, you read to him, and then you come down. And I was down and just kind of getting dinner ready or whatever. And then you went right to your laptop and you started working.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really say anything and whatever. And for me, I just got really annoyed by that. But again... Just like, I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I just kind of held it in. And all I wanted was like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes to be like, hey, how's the day? How you doing? And then for me too, to be like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? I just wanted that like 5 to 10 minute connection and then like plan out our night. Like, okay, hey, I got an hour of work to catch up on. Let's do that now.
Yeah.
Hey, at 8 o'clock, let's reconvene. We can talk then. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's 8:30. Let's watch Black Mirror or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted, but I never verbalized it. And I've probably never told you that.
Yeah.
But again, it was just like a lot of this stuff is just on like miscommunication stuff. But we ended up talking it out and it was just fine. But...
Right. Yeah, I think that's key too, right? In all relationships, it's clear communication. And sometimes I fail you.
Yeah.
And you fail me.
And I fail you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next one. Hey, are you happy? So I'll start with this one then. Hey, are you happy? Happy moment of the week. This is just it's a silly, subtle thing.
Yeah.
But it goes to just, I think, what really makes us tick and click together is, so Black Mirror season 5 is dropped on Netflix. And you see that it's been dropped. And right away you say, you want to watch Black Mirror tonight? Like the fact that things that interest me, you are interested in too.
Yeah.
It's just something I love about you. Like, wow. And so like that this week, you're like, let's plow through them. So we watched one night, one the next, and we watched them and we enjoy them together. And I just think that for me makes me happy. It was not this enormous, awesome moment. It was just something subtly, as I look back, I'm like, I'm really thankful for that. It's really neat.
I know it's sometimes, so when there are a lot of things that you do that make me so happy. And I mean, it's from the subtle things of just, you actually make dinner almost every week for us. You know, it's something that I almost probably take for granted, you know.
Well, meal prep.
Meal prep, yeah.
Yeah, not just still, like once every week.
Oh, right.
But yeah.
Dinner, lunch, you make it all, and for the kids too. And that you just get how to clean up with me, like we clean up together, you know. And I know that's not like, it's not out of the everyday routine. There's not like one specific thing in particular. It's just that I'm really thankful that you're able to help out, and that makes me really happy. You know, that I don't have to do it all on my own, or, you know,
That fridge on Monday looks good to me. By Friday, it's looking kind of slim.
Yeah.
This is one thing that we want to do, too. It's just kind of a random thing.
Yeah.
I want to pull a card each week. So there's this great 90s game called Rate Your Mate.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of keep us on our toes. And then if we start getting local celebrities involved, too, we want to do this with them, too.
Yeah.
But Rate Your Mate. So the card that I pulled this week, and we've really not prepped on this, but it is, what would your mate say is your worst habit? So what would I say about you that is your worst habit?
Yep. Should I start?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So what you would say
about you, yeah,
is my worst habit?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many. I think.
Oh, I don't say, no. I don't think.
But my worst habit, I think, for you, my worst habit is probably coming to you with an issue that you're not prepared to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Good one. That's it. Yeah. That's a great one. I need to be prepared.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, you can't just sit down and be like, can you believe this happened? Like, I need to be like prepped. Like, hey, I really need to talk to you now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on this.
Yeah. It can't be like I come in after work and say, you know, we're not doing this thing, or I'm not going to that, or we're doing this without discussing it first.
Boy, that gets me going. It really does.
And then you usually say, you can't tell me what to do all the time.
Did I do it? Is that my voice?
That's not your voice, but it's just kind of funny.
You can't tell me what to do.
It's funny now.
It's funny to you.
During the moments, it's not.
But it's been very therapeutic. you got that one right on the head, because I can't handle that. I need a little prep. I do stress.
Planning,
right? I need
schedule
a little
a time.
I need
on the
a
calendar.
Little. let's do this in a positive way here. All right.
Massage it a little bit.
Please
don't tell me directly.
So, what would your mate say is your worst habit? So, what you would say about me is that I don't listen, and that I think I'm always right.
Yes. That's definitely, for sure. But I mean, not the always right part, the listening part, and empathetic listening, you know, where you listen and then just kind of understand what I'm saying instead of trying to tell me what I need to be doing differently, or thinking that I'm blaming you for something when I'm just talking, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think guys in general, like, they want to fix. Yeah. You know, like, I want to fix things all the time. I've gotten better at that, like where I'm like, okay, I know I can't fix things, so I'll just try to listen better. But there are times, too, where I feel like I am listening or I'm understanding, but you just don't believe me.
Well, because I'll give you an example. It'd be something along the lines of, you know, we're sitting down on the front porch and I say something like, man, I had a bad day. And you're like, what do you want me to do? Usually how it is. I'm like, what? I'm just going to tell you about my bad day.
Oh, man.
And then you're thinking,
that goes to fixing.
Exactly. Yeah. You feel guilty that I had a bad day, like it's your fault, and it's not.
Yeah, a lot of guilt stored up in here, I'll tell you. A lot of guilt stored up in here. All right, well, this was great. This is great. You didn't finish your beer.
I didn't know you were, wow.
Yeah, mine's
gone. I didn't know you were drinking yours.
Yeah, mine's gone.